Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. John Lopez, I'm Reginald Atula, that's Figgy Fig. Having a good time today, in part because we got some news, some of it positive, a little bit negative. But, hey, that's
a lot
life,
happening.
Right? You bounce back and forth. It is a lot happening for just the 25th of June in the middle
happy
of the summer.
Happy birthday to my daughter.
And it's true. Happy birthday to my brother.
Happy birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my little brother.
Oh, yeah. They got the same birthday.
They do.
Leah's birthday is
happy
today.
Birthday, everybody.
Happy yeah. birthday to all the people. If your birthday is today, you get one, yeah. too. Go ahead yeah. and happy birthday to you. Not happy birthday to Shortstop Cannon on the Twitch chat saying yeehaw. I know what you're doing there. I know I'm wearing a cowboy hat today. I feel good.
You got a friend in me.
All right. Okay. I get it. I look like Woody from Toy Story.
Now you're going there.
They said someone on the text line said I look like the Black Woody from Toy Story. Well, they said I look like a different Woody from Toy Story. But y'all know what you were saying. I know what you're saying. That's cool.
I know what's different.
You look different.
Different. That's right. All right. So one of the things that I like doing, Lopez, because I know this is our first time getting a chance to do this together, mm-hmm. is before the upcoming season of football, I like going back to the previous year. Partially because my memory can sometimes fail me.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go back and see afresh what that previous season looked like game by game. So I'll rewatch them. I mean, I'm talking about trying to break it down, trying to get a little feeling of what happened so that, you know, see what I could spin forward, what kind of things did I miss, what kind of things I need to recall. So I went back and I'll be doing this hopefully for the next few weeks as we head ourselves into training camp. In fact, we got training camp dates down from the Texans today as well. But as we gear up towards that, I'm going to be watching these games, going back and, you know, hopefully having some rewatch notes that we can go over. So before we even get into some of the things mm-hmm. that I took down, what do you remember from week one, 29-27 victory over the Indianapolis Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium?
I remember, getting away, leaving that game, the game ending.
Yes.
And thinking, well, all right, you know, it's an opener. You know, it's an opener. There's going to be some rough spots here, but you got the dub. I mean, that would be the biggest takeaway from me from week one. Now we soon found out there were other things that were going on in that game that were sort of, you know, startling.
Yeah. So yes, that's the thing that I immediately saw. Like the benefit of hindsight, as Cam Newton would say, is 20/20. as I think, or rather, he would say is 50/50.
Yeah, 50/50.
The statement is hindsight is 20/20. But very early on, one of the things I saw was the first actual run was stuffed. Second pass play was a Laramie Tunsil false start, and the offensive line got eaten up by the defense. And, I mean, CJ, yeah, but at that point we didn't, right? CJ got flushed early due to Titus Howard on the right side getting beat. And all of the issues were mm-hmm. evident from drive one. If you go back, you watch, and you're like, oh, yeah, those are things that we saw all year.
Yeah.
I had a hard time trying to take my mind back to that place, so I used my previous notes because I mm-hmm. still had my notes that I had in real time.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, how much of this did we kind of understand and expect, and how mm-hmm. much of this was like, oh, this is a different level? And I don't think that we really had that full understanding of what exactly this offensive line, the issues that it had. But if you looked at it, it was a weird little microcosm of the entirety season right off the jump.
Yeah, but Joe Mixon was running. Joe Mixon, had a good game.
He did.
Yeah, so that's why it was kind of like, all right, it was kind of masked a little bit.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, he made a little something out of nothing. To be fair, mm-hmm. there were points in this game where, you know, the zone blocking scheme, the offensive line did actually do mm-hmm. it, you know, block it up pretty well. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of that I then attribute to the Colts being a team that, over the entirety of the season was like 13th in run stuff rate, or but also top three in 10 plus yard rushes given up. So like, how much of this was just the Colts were not that good at stopping the
run?
But
we didn't know that.
No, we didn't. I mean, there's nothing you can base that off of at that moment. So you're just looking around and you're going, all right, what does this mean? Not entirely sure. But yeah, man, Joe Mixon did have a good game, although that showed up a little bit more as the game continued to progress. Like late in the game, you saw the Texans
breaking some bigger runs.
They warmed down.
Yeah.
I think that that's more of what happened than the offensive line was incredible at blocking, although they did do some pretty good blocking things. The first big note that I took, though, you remember the first touchdown that was scored by – or no, actually not even scored. Yeah, it was the first touchdown scored by the Colts. Was a 60-yard touchdown pass to Alec Pierce. And what happens is he just smokes quarters coverage on the right side. This is actually Derek Stingley in coverage here. However, with quarters, you had Derek Stingley, and then you had Jimmy Ward, who at that point was playing one of your safety spots. And Ward was flat-footed when, you know, when Pierce gets to him, because, you know, it's quarters.
Yeah.
And then he just doesn't have the makeup speed with the burners. And then Pierce is curling his run, or his route. Yeah. He's curling his route a little bit inside away from Stingley, so he can't make it up on the outside. But that's what makes this happen. And what I immediately thought was, that doesn't happen this year, right?
No. No, that does not happen this year with the safeties that they have. And more experience from Kalen Bullock, obviously, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I don't think that happens. And I think, you know, clearly Derek Stingley went on to have an incredible season last year. Yeah.
But my thought is, I mean, that cornerback on
doesn't
the outside.
Doesn't happen with safeties.
It's going to be tough. But, like, when you you have that safety, you're kind of bracketing in that instance. That safety on the interior also needs to have some level of makeup speed.
Yeah.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kalen Bullock are both 4.48 40 guys.
Yeah.
And their 10-yard split is pretty fast. I think one of them had a 1.48 10-yard split. The other one a 1.51 10-yard split. I feel like they have the ability to have that makeup speed to where, you know, if you end up in somehow the exact same play.
That's a good observation, man. I don't remember that play in particular. That's why you rewatched it. But
I didn't remember it until I went back and watched it.
But to have those safeties just gives you a little more confidence on those deep balls. And the other thing, you mentioned it with the pass. Anthony Richardson, I believe, had a pretty good game. You know, as far as like an opener would go for the Colts.
Yeah, and that's that. I mean, I'll jump to that in particular. That was really the majority of the plays that the Colts had. It really was the Texans beating themselves. Not that they beat themselves per se, because obviously the Texans got out with a 29-27 victory. But the Colts really didn't play all that great in this game. There was the second touchdown that was scored by the Colts was a 5-yard Jonathan Taylor touchdown because you turned you had a punt block.
Yeah.
Remember, it was a blocked punt that put the ball on the 5-yard line. So the Colts turned around and just punched that thing in there.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, man. Like the first two touchdowns was a blown coverage. You just get beat over the top.
Yeah, you get beat.
In a pass, in a one fell swoop. And then there's a rushing touchdown for the second one. And the third one was a big pass as well, if memory serves, that also is in that same space, right? So, like, these are the circumstances where I think that the Texans, with little tweaks, which obviously your special teams, you know, being a little bit more stout right from jump, which I guess, let me pause there. How confident do you feel in the idea of Frank Ross getting the special teams to that place immediately? Because I was kind of surprised that special teams didn't look that great week one here.
Yeah, no, and I think we talked about it after the game. That was one of the things that we had the most confidence in, and still do, as it turns out, with Frank Ross. But no, in that game, for sure.
One of the things that was interesting as I was looking back through it, the Colts seem to be getting a lot of playing deep and giving up shallow zones. Well, I mean, and this is kind of a different thing than I'll get into, but you got
the Nico effect.
A lot of Stephon Diggs. Nico effect, but also the C.J. Stroud effect. Because remember, coming into this game, the last time you played the Colts was week 18.
We're 75 yards.
The first play.
No, that's why I call it the Nico effect.
Right.
Yeah, and then Stephon, actually, you know, we had this big discussion going in, who's going to be the number one. I felt going into the season, Stephon Diggs might be the number one receiver just because he was Stephon Diggs and, you know, he's away from Buffalo and all that. Obviously, that's wrong. Nico was it. And Stephon was kind of working those underneaths.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a way that felt very concerned. Like, they were trying to get him
to Christian
football.
Kirk now?
That was a question that I had, is like, who gets that? Because the second touchdown, because remember, Stephon Diggs had two touchdowns. Actually, let me give you the first touchdown. First touchdown was kind of a, and what was the concept that I had here? I think it was like a slant flat mm-hmm. concept, although you did also have another wide receiver kind of pushing up the field mm-hmm. to push the safeties deep. But then that's where you have the slant underneath is Stephon Diggs getting yeah. the ball nice and easy underneath, nice 7 or 6 points easy. The other touchdown, you're down on the goal line. He runs a quick out mm-hmm. and you get the ball to him. And I'm like, who do you have that runs those routes? Because I don't know that that's Jaden Higgins running those routes. Is that Jalen Noel? Is that Christian Kirk?
I got to believe that's Kirk, right? Because he's played in different positions, you know, as a wide out, mm-hmm. inside and out. But, I mean, Noel would be a possibility, even though I don't know what our expectations should be, you know, week one.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to look at, as we get into training camp, the guys who have those best breaks, mm-hmm. the guys who explode out of those breaks, especially be able to utilize outside kind of breaking routes. Not yeah. to say that it's going to be the same offense and what have you, but if you have situations like that, mm-hmm. who do you have that will be able to utilize those things? But going back to one of the things I wanted to mention with those with the deep zones that the Colts were playing, making sure to just be back, don't get beat over top, is that was a clear reaction to knowing the book on CJ Stroud coming in is he likes deep balls when it comes to throwing the football and getting an opportunity to get over top of the defense. What is that MO? What is that book for CJ this year?
Oh, I think it's the same.
You think it's still the same that teams are going to be like, he wants to get the ball over top?
More so because of Nico. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and this is a faster wide receiving room. They're faster just across the board. You can talk
compared to Nico, Tank, and Stephon. You have,
I mean, they were obviously fast, yeah. but I think, you know, you have more depth, more speed across the board. Noel and Higgins and Kirk, who's a blazing fast receiver. So I think the MO is the same. I do want to ask you something,
yes.
though, mm-hmm. because I didn't rewatch the game, but I know you saw this. So I just double checked on the box score. I remember the one thing we were talking about that was interesting was Joe Mixon had 30 carries in that game.
That's a good point, yeah.
30 carries, and his long was just 13 yards. He had 159 yards, but with a long of just 13 yards.
Yep.
He was just getting 8, 10,
yep.
7, you know, on and on and on, 30 carries. That's what I'm looking forward. You know, obviously the second leading rusher was Damian Pierce. He only had 3 carries. So
they were good carries too.
They were 16 yards.
Like that sounds like a really.
But
like,
here's the thing: you don't want 30 carries. You want Nick Chubb to get 12 of those.
We was kind of talking about that in real time. Yeah. Like, man, that's a lot of carries.
Yeah. Yeah. So that to me is I'm interested to see how that plays out.
No, agreed. Yeah. Agreed. And so yeah, no, that's a great point that. I very much felt it, but I honestly didn't go back and immediately look at the fact that there was a lot of those carries, mm-hmm. but it was just positive, 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 and a lot of it was him making a little something out of nothing, to mm-hmm. be completely honest. This is a small thing, but another. There was a lot of slips in this game, and some of this was like CJ slipped a couple times mm-hmm. on the field, or the helmet logo on the field, center yeah. field, but also this was immediately after they put in new turf.
Mm-hmm.
At Lucas Oil Stadium. It was the Hella Matrix microfilament turf. And apparently Dallas Flowers, a cornerback for the team, said, I guess it's okay. It just needs to be broken in more. And I do wonder, when you do make your way back to Lucas Oil Stadium, this time in week 13, so yeah. later on in the season,
yeah.
I wonder, will that still be the case? Will it be broken in more? And maybe the time of year, does that all at all change? Not really a big deal to worry about. But
I don't think it was an ongoing problem. And I wasn't plugged into the field issues at Indianapolis, yeah. but I don't remember it being an ongoing problem.
I think it was a couple times. Mm-hmm. Was it last year that they put? I think it was a couple times CJ slipped.
Yes, that's what he was talking about. Yeah,
it was just a couple. It was just a couple stuff like mm-hmm. that where he just slipped, but that was it.
Yeah. And finally, I'll leave you with this: CJ Stroud. There was one play in particular, but obviously CJ was under pressure a lot. I didn't realize that mm-hmm. he was under pressure this early in the season. Now it was kind of interesting. You could see him feel a level of comfort because you know it just felt like operating as normal before he had you know kind of the, for lack of a better term, and not to minimize this, the PTSD of I'm under constant bombardment.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like. You saw him feel like just real comfortable, but he had to deal with a lot of it. And he tripped over some legs a decent amount.
Mm-hmm.
But on one play in particular, CJ was sacked on a blitz that sent 6 men, but in effect, it was kind of 5 for what the offensive line was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the linebackers were moving constantly up to the snap. And the snap comes with 3 seconds left on the play clock.
Mm-hmm.
3rd and 7. So you know they're pinning their ears back. You got to get up to the line quicker. It's one of those things that's talked about. I want to see how quickly they get to the line, and the CJ having control of this, how much it changes those instances where you have fewer sacks, not because the line is better, not because any, but just because you take the time to get up and CJ looks at what's happening, sees and is able to diagnose. Because what happens on the play is that on the left side, obviously, you know, you have Laramie, you have at that point Kenyon Green as your left tackle and left guard respectively. Juice is your center. He snaps it and he's looking to the right and he ends up tandeming up with a on the defensive tackle with Shaq Mason, and that leaves three guys to the left side. And I mean three guys to the right side, but one guy is still kind of unblocked off the edge anyways.
Right, yeah.
So if you have time to look at this and see the movement and like, hey, no, you actually need to help here.
Yeah.
You can pick up and CJ still needs to get the ball out quickly, but at least he has a chance to win in a way that he didn't there. And a lot of that is just a diagnosing pre-snap. I'm not even talking about talent, not talking about blocking scheme. It's just diagnosing what's happening pre-snap.
Those were two very early hints that we didn't really take big note of that are the reason we're here now.
Yeah.
You know, that what you just described is the reason that C.J. Stroud has more control. It festered. It became worse. He wanted to get more control at the line of scrimmage. That's why we're here. And the other one was Stroud getting hit. He got sacked four times in that game and hit several other times. Those were the first early hints that we didn't really pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah, so that was my main takeaways from watching rewatching week one of the Texans 2024 season. As we gear up for the 2025 season, I think that I got a lot of work to do because tomorrow I'm back with game two, which is the home opener versus the Bears. But we're in rewatch season, baby. We are under a month to go until we're in training camp.
That might be a rough one to watch.
Oh yeah,
that Bears game.
I'm just looking forward to I'm looking forward to when CJ meets meets Caleb at midfield. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Come here,
yeah, come here. Let me talk. Let me tell you something. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Come here, young man.
In my rewatch, all right,
young man,
young whippersnapper
man.
Let me get you some game. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. We'll do that next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh boy. So,
you good?
Kind of. I kind of got to be careful with this. And this is me saying
when
that.
When have you been careful?
And this is me saying this. So my first confession is going to be about, there's a freshman linebacker that reported yesterday to Eastern Michigan University. All right.
Know who exactly this is. I know exactly who this is because I have followed his career.
His first name is Noah.
That's right.
Okay.
You want to stop? You want to stop short? You want me to help you out here?
Well. So his name was announced. They have this tradition there when the freshmen come in. One of the coaches gets on a bullhorn and says the name of each player.
It had to be the DV coach that said it, huh?
I don't know. It might have been the linebacker coach.
No, it definitely wasn't the linebacker coach that said it. And it wasn't the O-line coach neither.
His last name is, how can I put this?
I know how to pronounce his last name if you need me to.
His first name is Noah. His last name is?
I say Reggie, you say it.
His name is Kaniga.
Okay.
It's spelled K-N-I-G-G-A.
That's correct. It's spelled Kaniga. It's pronounced Kaniga.
Yes.
Okay.
That's my guy. See what I did there?
That's your Kaniga? That's what you're trying to say here?
That's my guy. So it got wild, and this actually changed my opinion on him, and that's my confession. Just play a little bit of after they announced his name. The entire roster, seniors, juniors, like they are in on this dude.
He about to win the Heisman.
They are in on this dude. And that's because of his name.
I do love his Wikipedia got that pronunciation. Big letters. Hey, don't get in trouble.
The K is not silent.
Canadian.
The K is not silent. This dude, and that's talk about the epitome of you just own it, man. You're going to make money off of that name. The players.
You definitely got to spell this name right.
The players loved him. Every race of player that was there was jumping around like, yeah, this is my guy.
Yeah. I'm really interested in the origin of this last name.
I am too.
I'll be wondering where these last names. Sometimes I'll be very interested in unique last names, such as myself.
Yeah.
Like my last name. I'll be wondering where did it came from.
And by the way, I guess we should note he is not black.
No. No, he is not. No. He looked like he wears Vans and Aeropostale.
Yeah.
This is very stereotypical, I understand. But I'm trying to paint the picture best I can. Apologies. But yeah, man, I remember this because like 3 years or 2 or 3 years ago, he went viral online because his family name is Kanaga, and you know, the internet's going to run with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I vividly remember the family sitting down talking about it, like pronunciation and everything, like they did obviously a hit on the news.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, this is a family name. And nobody thought you wanted to change it at any point,
well,
huh?
Well, see, when it first came out, and really, I didn't really catch up on this until he got signed last spring or whatever. Or before, anyway. And I was always of the opinion, man, just, you got to change your name. No.
You don't got to, but I feel like
no, don't
you
can change
save
your
yourself
name.
A lot of health.
Maybe, but don't change your name. Your name is money.
Well,
your
name is
money.
Especially in like an open market type circumstance, I mean, like NIL is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Just it's an attention economy that we live in.
I'm just worried. I hope he don't get the wrong type of NIL where they try to do some type of awful joke.
I don't
like what, Figgy?
You know what I'm talking about.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Like what, Figgy?
I just don't. Like what?
You think he's going to get the Swisher Sweets? You think he's going to get the Black and Mild sponsorship? Is that what's happening here?
I don't want no badass type of overseas commercial, edgy commercial. They try to pull at a car dealership or something and get everybody canceled.
Yeah.
So I just hope everybody just keep it clean, keep it safe.
Yeah.
And let's just have a good time. Don't try to do no edgy joke.
And then that, you know, on the YouTube, Rob Torres, I mean, broadcasting their games. There's going to be some interesting moments. There's going
to
be.
Yeah, I feel like these broadcasters, somebody going to try to go viral, try to be a little too funny,
well,
and he's going to lose his job.
I can tell you exactly who the broadcaster is that will try and be funny with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Mark Jones.
Oh, God.
Right? Am I wrong? And it would be even worse or better, depending on how you view it, if they were still letting Mark Jones, or if they had not fired RG3. Remember how they used to do college games together?
Oh, my God.
Bring RG3 back
Black
for that
Friday.
One. Yeah, bring him back for that one. That's just all I ask. Bring him back for that one game when they broadcast the Eastern Michigan game. I'll pay for it. Put it on ESPN+.
I'll never forget RG3 sitting there. They were doing the Black Friday game. And he's like, Black Friday. And pointing at him and Mark Jones. I'm like, oh, my God.
Do it for me. Hey, if you don't do it for nobody else, do it for me.
And of course, our texters and viewers on YouTube and Twitch are all about it. They're right on with what you're talking about. Need a new car, Noah?
I know a Kanaga. Biggie is dying. He didn't think that one out. Yeah, no. The broadcasters, everybody, the pronunciation guide is gonna like. Don't even
it's
have
gonna
pronunciation
be on page
guide.
One.
Put it on the very front. Eastern Michigan. Here's how you pronounce that one name. I know that's what you want to know. Yeah, I know it's what you want to know. This is how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So mine will not be nearly as fun of a confession, I imagine. But yesterday, I think I made a decision. I was watching the Astros game, as one does, and I found myself having a hard time focusing because, like, I think I'm just, like, I have a tough time focusing. I try and inundate myself with a lot of stuff, as evidenced by I have three TVs constantly listening to this, that, and the third. Yeah, man. Yeah. It's good, but it's bad, clearly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to focus. I need to, like, have figure out a way to focus even better into Astros games. Because
so you bought a fourth TV?
No.
Okay.
I am getting a fourth TV delivery. But that's for the bedroom. That's something else entirely.
Good
but,
Lord.
Yeah, that's more.
The bedroom.
That's right. Because I want to be able to wake up and watch soccer without going to the living room. Anyways, I think that I'm going to start scoring Astros games.
Oh, please don't. I used to always score games. But if you're scoring a game at home, watching it on TV, you've, let's just be honest. You're a nerd.
Guilty as charged. When have I ever not been a nerd?
Is that breaking news?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Like, you're a bigger nerd than I thought.
Bro, you the one who tries to troll me with the elemental P stat. Like, nah, man, I'm that. That's fair. But
I'm surprised you haven't did this.
The only time I've scored a baseball game was digitally when I used to call baseball games in college, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I kind of need, if our listeners, if anybody has score games, give me tips, because I'm going to go get
scored a thousands of games.
Yeah, but I don't care about you. No, I'm just playing. But like, I would love tips because I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna go buy a score book and see if I can do it, because I don't want to do it digitally. I want to do it by hand.
There are some good shorthand things to do.
Okay.
I'll help you out with
that. Yeah, because I think that I'm hoping that that'll help me lock in even better to Astros games. Because, you know, baseball inherently as a sport is one that kind of is on, and sometimes you kind of turn your head away and do this or that. I want to lock in better. So at least, I don't know if I'm going to score every game. Mm-hmm. But when I do, like, I want to be able to lock in a little bit better. And I think
like
that
when I was at games, I scored them. TV, I don't think I've ever scored a TV game.
You going to do it at the game too?
I mean, if I go to games.
Yeah, at the game, it's fine. It's kind of like part of the...
You do look like a big dork with the scorebook at the game, though.
No, in the stands, yes. I'm talking about like in the press box.
Oh, yeah.
My wife, we sat in front of somebody one time that was scoring the game, just a fan behind us.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly what he was doing, so I'm like, I'm not about to throw this guy off and say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
She did not know. hey, what you doing? And he ain't say nothing. I'm just like, hey, just chill out.
Stop.
And then his buddy next to him, like, oh, yeah, he's scoring again. She was just loud and just, I was just like, please leave this guy alone.
Barbara
man.
Bush, she scored every game she went to.
She
had a scorebook or several scorebooks, but she would score every game she went to.
713, just get some Adderall, Reggie, like fair. And from the 281, why not sign up for AARP too with Reggie? Don't threaten me with a good time.
So I've been living in my neighborhood, my current neighborhood now since like October, and it's up and coming. They starting to build some houses like Monopoly. Them houses popping up real quick now. But it was one day I was on my way home from work and I passed this gas station. And you know how you got the cars parked in the front? Like, clearly they just going in to grab something and they're not getting gas. Seen a horse right there.
Oh, wow. Nice. Welcome to Houston.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
A horse. So I made a U-turn. I'm like, I got to see who hop on this horse.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking there's somebody maybe dressed like Reggie right now. You just got the hat and just the boots and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I turn around in the gas station. So I'm just sitting there parked like I'm waiting to murk somebody or something. And so somebody walked out with some headphones, some basketball shorts, some slides. And I'm like, that can't be the person that hop on this horse. What do you know?
Yeah.
He hopped on the horse.
In some slides. That's
he
the
was in some
part.
Slides.
That's the hard part. Yeah.
He had some headphones, pretty much like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it was a younger kid too. He had to be a teenager.
He's a cowboy.
And I'm like, what? Yeah. So he had his little bag of junk food or whatever it was. Hopped on a horse. I'm like, what? And he just took off. Took off around the corner.
Yeah.
I got my confession is I think that's cool as hell.
It really is.
I would definitely do that.
Like, slides.
Yeah. Like I probably won't be all in a hat and stuff, but. Just to run to the store real quick and just hop on the horse. I'm like, man, that was cool. I'd never seen that before in person like that.
Yeah.
I didn't even think it was some horses around where I stay.
Oh, sure, man.
It's everywhere, baby.
Everywhere.
But, man,
here.
I was like, what? What? Mm-hmm. I had to take a picture. I might post a picture just show people. But I couldn't believe it, man. I'm like, what? And it was a guy just in some slides.
That's awesome. God. Which is hard to ride a horse, I'm guessing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It wasn't hard for him, man. He was just going on. Probably had this music playing.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, that's crazy, man.
I love Houston so much.
It's amazing.
There's not many places where you had that experience.
Yeah. And then a Tesla pulls in next to it. You know, yeah.
or something. Or in my case, a Jeep Compass sitting there stalking the guy out, trying to see who's going to hop up on his horse.
Yeah.
What a time, man. All right. Yeah. Those are our Lunchtime Confessions here in the Loop, presented by the Men's Clinic. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Wednesday. Coming up next, we were going to do this earlier before we were so rudely interrupted by Fred Van Vliet getting a new contract, two-year, $50 million, instead of the $45 million player option or team option that he had previously. But coming up next, let's do a little Judge John Lopez. We'll enter the court.
Next.
All right, you're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man, John Lopez. I'm Reginald Latitula. That's Figgy Fig on the text line from the 281. They say, out here, we have people going to the corner store in Ice House in tractors.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a guy get a DWI on a John Deere once.
Yeah.
Do you? This might be a silly question, but I was thinking about that kid that was riding the horse. Do you have to have some type of license or anything, or is it good to go?
I don't think so.
I can't imagine.
So you could be whatever age, as long as you know how to ride a horse, you're good.
I think so. Yeah.
That's dope, man. I like that.
Yeah.
Figgy about to go get him a horse.
Nah, I got the car now. But if I was like, hey,
he said I'm good.
If I was like 12 years old, man, I'm getting a horse. Screw a bike.
I had to look
on
it
a
up.
Horse.
You also just can't drop it. You can't just drop a horse in your friend's front yard.
Nah, that
like
is a flex,
a bike.
Though. Man, you could go a long way on the horse.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, but you gotta find
I'll be up in Montana. I'll be up in Montana somewhere, man, on a horse.
Wild. Wild. All right. This is a little thing that we like to do, is just go into the court of Judge John Lopez, talk about some things in sports and otherwise, and see how he would rule on such things. So, with that being said, I think that we should do that right now. What you think, Fig? All right, welcome to the court of Judge John Lopez. I got a couple of things on the docket here that myself and Figgy will do our best to argue. You get add some arguments as well on the text line, 713-572-4610. And, of course, the man to rule on it will be the honorable or maybe dishonorable Judge John Lopez.
You got to get you that robe and that white wig.
I need to get the white
man.
Wig. Yeah, I do need to get the white
wig. Go ahead and hit that up. Because next time we do this, you better. We not respecting your verdict if you just wearing a fish.
And I'll leave it on one of those little plastic heads that they have in
the mannequin head.
Just leave it in here on there, the mannequin head.
Everybody else on the station is just going to be sick of us. Why is there a mannequin in here dressed like a judge? Oh, you know, it's for a segment we do every once in a while. All right. On the docket, case number one is brought to you by the most hatinest man in all of college football. They like to call him the old ball coach.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Spurrier used to be the head coach of Florida, South Carolina. Very, very good football coach. Incredible hater, I like to say. I enjoy him very much.
Yeah.
And he got back to his hating ways in this case. We're talking to Pat Dooley of the UF Alumni Newsletter about quarterback Arch Manning at the University of Texas. He said, quote, "Most people are picking Texas to win the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Arch Manning already winning the Heisman, too. My question is, if he was this good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play all the time last year?
Mm-hmm.
He was the 7th-round pick." So, the question at Bear here, should Steve Sarkisian have played Arch Manning more?
Oh, that's where you're going with that.
Figgy!
Mm-hmm.
Counselor,
mm-hmm.
Your case.
All right, so wait a minute. Let me break the wall real quick. Am I arguing for?
You were supposed to.
All right, I'm arguing for him playing more, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
I'm winning this case, baby. Let's go.
I had to make sure.
Yeah.
So, I think you can make an argument that he should have played more, and this is why. Mm-hmm. So back in 2018, who won the championship, national championship?
What was 2018?
That was Alabama, the University of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And who was on that team?
Oh,
who was the quarterback on that team?
I know where you're going with this.
You had Jalen Hurts, who was the starter for most of the year.
Yeah.
And in the national championship game, what did they do?
They brought in Tua.
So I think you shouldn't just keep somebody like that on the bench because he's a freshman or he don't have the experience and you got this guy that's a – maybe a sophomore mm-hmm. or junior or a senior. You got to go with the better hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Nick Saban did in 2018. And that helped them win the championship. And I think if they would have did that last season, if UT would have did that last season,
yeah.
they probably would have had a chance to maybe beat Ohio State and then move on and end up going to the mm-hmm. national championship, maybe winning. So I think they probably should have made that switch early on and not just kind of keep Quinn Ewers, the quarterback, because it's Quinn Ewers and he's a senior and all that.
That's a strong case you're making there, counselor. So you're actually arguing not just that they could have played him, but that he was good enough to yeah. earn the accolades he's getting now.
Yeah.
What would be the counterpoint?
All right, so I'm not going to get out here and try and tell you that definitively Quinn Ewers is a better quarterback than Arch Manning. I don't actually believe that.
Mm-hmm.
What I will tell you, however, is that the decision to make that, to have that play out that way, is less about winning that particular game, which maybe you could ding me on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's about winning the recruiting battle.
Mm-hmm.
The University of Texas historically has been an incredible recruiting school because it is the flagship school of Texas.
One of them.
I said what I said. And I think when they are going well with all of the assets they have at their disposal, they should be able to get anybody in the state of Texas, which, again, respect to Texas A&M, but I think you would understand that Texas historically mm-hmm. has had that kind of pull. They had lost that and in part was, you know, making bad decisions, but also, like, you know, you lost your prestige. And so with that being the case, as another Texas A&M Aggie walks by, shout out to T. Mill of the Drive.
Yeah.
I think in order to get yourself back to that prestige, you need to win games, obviously, but a lot of places can get you an opportunity to win. I think you need to also show that when I promise you something, I mean it, especially in this mm-hmm. modern era of football. And with Quinn Ewers, it was clear that he was promised to be the quarterback, that mm-hmm. we're going to go by a level of hierarchy, which is also very different than the way a lot of these other teams are operating. Mm-hmm. So I think you stand out from the rest of the pack. You show that, hey, I am a head coach of a certain level of principle.
Yeah.
And I'm not just going to bring in the newest, hottest flavor to usurp you, especially if you're transferring in and you want to transfer out with all the player movement.
Yeah.
We're not playing this game in a way that is reckless and that is disrespectful to your player. To you as a player, even if we bring in one of the most highly recruited mm-hmm. and regarded prospects. If I tell you you're going to start and I believe in you, I'm going to believe in you fully. And I think that matters a good amount to establish what he is doing at Texas relatively early on, so that not only are we going to win ball games, but we're going to do it in a way that's responsible and respectful. If you're talking about Saban, that's also one of the things that he did. It's one of the reasons why he moved out of the current era, is that he wants to have guys that come in and know, you're not going to play immediately, mm-hmm. but once you get the time to play, it's your time to go.
All right, so that, too, is a compelling case, but as I'm about to rule on this, I keep going back to what is on trial here is not promises made or kept or not kept. It's does he deserve the accolades that he's getting? And what you're saying, Reggie, you know, promises don't win games. You know, if you promised Quinn Ewers this or that, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win games. I think Figgy stated a stronger case that Arch Manning really was good enough, and it was more on the coach not playing him, that he should have played in the national championship game. So I think what I'm going to side with Figgy and say that he does deserve the accolades he's getting right now because he was good enough to play. It was a coaching mistake. And really, I think a lot of Longhorns fans would probably agree with that, with what they saw in the postseason. There was a good segment of them wanting to get Arch Manning back on the field. What you're saying is a good, strong case, but not for what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Somebody said before, Lopez is a judge, quote, before I give my ruling, have you bought my OG sauce?
I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Oh, see, that's, I would have won my case if I brought some OG sauce.
By the way, my ruling is sponsored by OG sauce.
There you go.
You can go to OGsauce.com.
All right, so Figgy, you win the first case when it comes to Judge John Lopez, the court of George John Lopez. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Apparently, the hating-ass ball coach is correct.
Yeah.
Texas should have played more Arch Manning. We move to the second case on the docket.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes courtesy of John Lewis, who writes for Sports Media Watch.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago, he wrote a opinion piece that was entitled, NBA will be better off without Stephen A. Smith.
Hmm.
Counselor Figgy Fig.
I disagree with this, and this is why. I feel like Stephen A. Smith has been the face of the NBA media for years, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Stephen A. Smith would tell you himself that NBA was his number one. That was his first love. And he covered the NBA for so many years. I feel like Stephen A. Smith, whenever we do talk about NBA, I feel like all his hot takes, all of his opinions are the first ones up there whenever mm-hmm. it comes to the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's anyone else out there like that when it comes to big, loud, long, yeah. and strong opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if Stephen A. was to move on and not be a part of the NBA coverage again, I'm not sure if we would have that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is his opinions stronger than, let's say, Kendrick Perkins?
Well, if we're having a sidebar, I'm telling you, yes, they are.
Yeah, so I just don't know if, you know, as much as a lot of people hate Stephen A. Smith mm-hmm. and feel like he's a little bit washed and be kind of talking out of his, you know what, maybe playing solitaire over watching the NBA,
mm-hmm.
I do feel like his voice is still strong when it comes to talking about the NBA and just giving these opinions. So I'm not sure if the NBA would do better
without
Stephen A. Smith.
Okay. I'm digesting. Go.
All right. I hear you. Stephen A. Smith has a lot of reach. As much as people hate him, there's a level of hate watching mm-hmm. that happens and it gets out. But you know why also people watch Stephen A. Smith? Because he's the face of ESPN. I feel like the tastemakers are going to be there because sports fans watch sports networks.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the watching solitaire during the finals game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's less about like the individual thing, but I think it's what it speaks to. The idea that you have somebody that your general public thinks is not informed on the thing that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That they're having simple conversations that don't advance the game. And it's one of the things I've really decried yeah. when it comes to basketball in particular. It's a conversation and it's a analysis class of people that really put down the game instead of talking about what's beautiful about the game, mm-hmm. one of the things that make the game great. And I feel like if you have someone like a Tim Legler, if you have folks that, you know, talk about the game, I think intelligently, but also like in an uplifting manner, the NBA would be significantly better. And it's not like people would stop paying attention to this because people mm-hmm. love sports, right? It's the reason why sports continues to be the only thing worth a damn in live television, because people are here for the sports. The analysis is the things that people are going to want side saddle to those sports.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're someone talking about basketball, particularly if you're someone that's talking about it in a way that feels like they're uplifting and educating folks
mm-hmm.
and that they're also giving you insight and making you smarter about the game, I think that helps. And Stephen A. Smith, I can't in good conscience say that he's that. Look at Mina Kimes for the football side of things.
Mm-hmm.
People watch her and enjoy it. They feel like they're getting smarter and they feel like they're having a good time. I don't think that's what Stephen A. Smith does. And so for that case, for that point, I do think that Stephen A. Smith's gone. You're more likely to have somebody who's not taking up all this oxygen by feeding into the Michael Jordan versus LeBron James rings things
mm-hmm.
and maybe leaning into what is happening on the ground right now that is good about the game that I think would help grow it.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one. And as I'm sitting here in my imaginary wig and robe, which I will get actual ones here soon.
I don't believe you.
I
feel like this is a bit that you're doing.
I'm trying to define what better for the NBA is. That's ultimately what this comes down to.
That's a fair question.
Yeah. No, what is better for the NBA?
Now,
go ahead.
Let me bring this up.
If you have a rebuttal.
Objection, Your Honor. Badgering the witness.
Badgering the witness.
Now, Your Honor, it is a lot of people out there that do break the game down. Like you mentioned Tim Legler.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of people. We talked about Iman Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting more looks on ESPN and stuff like that. But that stuff is not hitting the headlines like that.
Right.
The stuff that's hitting the headlines is an argument between Stephen A. Smith mm-hmm. and LeBron James. Or Stephen A. Smith says this person is better.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that's creating the headlines. They're not breaking down the mm-hmm. game tape like that. That's not the first thing that pops up when you watch First Take yeah. or ESPN website or anything like that.
You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds rebuttal?
Yeah.
Look, man. I left as well. Look, Stephen A. has a lot of reach. That's fair. I maintain ESPN has continued to be this because they already have that profile. Mm-hmm. And the reason they have that profile is because they have team football rights. They have, you know, game rights.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever the game rights will be, people will be watching the television. You don't need Stephen A. Smith just to get headlines out there. People will see the headlines because you have the rights. Put a better person there and you'll have better results with people liking the sport and people watching the sport.
All right. So first of all, I've never had anyone, any attorney in my court say, look, man. but so ultimately, I have to rule on what is better for the NBA. Is it popularity or is it the game itself? And that's a tough question. So I'm going to reserve the right to revisit this topic if Stephen A., because I think he is towing the line of going too far and making it about himself. But ultimately, as close a case as this is, as tough it is to judge, I think I am going to side with Figgy on this one, only because right now the NBA needs popularity more than better on the court.
From the 8 through 2, the judge will side with Figgy because he didn't diss A&M. I see it. I see the you know what? That's my fault. I'll be better next time.
You can be called in contempt.
Ooh.
So I would watch myself.
All right. Very good. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610.
It was close. I almost went with you.
Thanks, man.
Like, what do they really
know? That doesn't really do much for me, but I appreciate it. You still lost. We'll come back to the court of Judge Don Lopez at another time, but appreciate you rock with us in the loop. Coming up next, Xavier Hutchinson jumped on with Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Does he give us insight into what this offense might look like? Let's hear from Xavier Hutchinson next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.